Podcast Zone. I'm your podcast blast master, Spike Tickner. I'm with...
It hurts to fucking laugh, Spike.
But what's your name, podcast host? Come on, Tegan. This is Butts, Butts, Butts.
This is Butts, 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 and you're here with your afternoon shock jock radio host, Tegan Kinder, the Tenacious.
Oh, we're gonna get into some robot carnage today, Tegan.
I can't do this. It's so out of my...
energy range?
Yeah, so out of my energy range.
All right, let's bring it down a couple notches.
Oh, it hurts.
Yeah, what's going on for you this week, Tego?
I feel like I've always got some kind of injury.
You do the past little while. You're in the wars still.
Yeah, I have a bad back, and it hurts to physically. It physically hurts to breathe.
And so, what I thought I'd do is
really laughing is really good and fun to do.
Yeah, I thought I'd just bring the laughs.
Oh, thank you for that. Appreciate it. I am on painkillers, so it's not as bad. But oh no, sorry, we're a bit late. I did rock star things and finished recording an album.
Tegan is a total rock star. She played a festival called Thrashville.
Yeah, I did play a festival called Thrashville and then played a fun little Valentine's Day show on Sunday as well. So
it was good. I went to that one. You sounded great.
Yeah, and then I couldn't walk or talk or breathe yesterday. So we're here today.
Here we are today.
Here we are today. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. We're here now.
I have a hot chockey and I'm ready to talk about some robots.
You ready? I didn't think we were going to start the podcast like that. That was just kind of me goofing around, but I'm using it.
It absolutely shocked me.
That's what a shock jock does.
I know. I didn't know what to say. Mine is not nearly as good as yours. What was your name again, sir?
I can't even remember. I will never speak of it again.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
So, did we need to go to the pits this week?
No, there's no need to go to the pits.
All right, yeah, it did take quite a long time to get there last week.
Yeah, I'm nervous about what the next form of transportation is.
We just keep going through them. Well, big, big episode.
Three main events this episode. Bloody hectic one. It was good to watch.
Let me get my notes. I'm so prepared.
This is what happens when you just come running in. Wait, yeah. Jet overhead. All right, it's... almost.
We can keep the jets in.
One day, though... Look, here's the thing. The town that Spike and I live in... it does have a RAF base in it, which is like...
What's the RAF?
I wish I knew.
It's the RAF.
F.
Yeah, I think there's two Fs. Yeah. I don't know what the second one is, but it is the Royal Australian Air... No, it's the RAAF.
Yeah.
It's the Royal Australian Air Force. It's the RAF.
The RAF.
The Riff RAF.
But, so there's always jets doing fun little fly-arounds over our... town.
Over our podcast.
Yeah. I was in the ocean the other day and these two jets came and did like a really low sweep.
Ooh.
And it was super cool. But one day they're not going to be our jets and it's going to be freaky.
Don't say this. No. Look, it's lucky we've got the jets.
Yeah, we've got the jets. Our local football team's called the
Jets.
Having said
that, look, I don't like to get into politics on the podcast, but our government spent too much money on these jets, and the money could have been spent better. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, the money really could have been spent a bit better, but hey, now we get to see these super cool jets fly over.
I have gotten you into flight simulators. Flight simulators, very cool.
I will not lie, I like to fly a zippy boy. I have a... this is how I was going to start the podcast originally.
Yeah, hit me.
How many times have you kicked a person?
like intentionally?
Yeah.
I mean, Probably none. I haven't really done any martial arts. Like, I've definitely kicked someone, but it's usually been, like, indoor soccer or outdoor soccer.
And what kind of kick did you use?
A goal kick. Kicking kick. A soccer kick.
Okay, so pretty like...
Or football. Football kick.
Yeah, okay.
Right, why?
Oh, just because they talked about kicks a lot at the beginning of this episode of BattleBots.
I was going to ask you, what is your favourite kick?
Look, I'm a big fan of, like, those little, like, kick checks that they do onto, like, a shin.
Oh, yeah.
Where they just do, like, the little side.
The little shin kick.
The little shin kick.
Because they're really a psychological kick.
Yeah, because then you kind of fake them out and then you can punch them.
Tegan likes to fight. Tegan's a brawler.
Hey, look, let's not make that public knowledge. Let's not go too deep into my personal fight history. My name's not Kenny Florian. It's not there for everyone to know.
All right, fair enough. Should we get into this episode? So this episode of Bots, 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 your one of your favourite robot fighting podcasts, at least.
Your favourite Australian.
Yeah, we can say that. Your favourite Australian. Hey, maybe it's your favourite robot fighting podcast. I don't know. It's my favourite. big ups
it's
there.
It's not mine.
No. Yeah, we're talking about... This has got spoilers for episode 10 now of season 5 of BattleBots. 2021? It's 2021 now.
It's a bit of a crossover season, this
one. It's a crossover season, that's right.
Yeah, alright. So this first match... This first match, which would usually be a main event...
Oh, absolutely.
Uppercut versus Hydra.
Brutal.
Talk me through it, Spike.
Alright, well, I was...
Here, I'll start.
Okay. Drawing a blank.
First things first, I'm the realist. Second thing is, Uppercut's mini bot, their little battle box.
Oh, the battle box arena.
The battle box arena nuisance bot was, that's how you get yourself a hexabug.
That is how, yeah, I was thinking that too. You know, you throw some hexabugs in the real arena. They're so tiny.
So little. Oh, it's going to be one of the first and only times that Hydra flips Tombstone.
Yeah, look, good predictions there. Yeah, I hope to see an uppercut hexabug soon because that would be fun.
That's how you lose bits of hexabugs.
I think, like, what my observation in this match, which I think is a lot of people's takeaway, was, like, Uppercut really could have taken it to Hydra, but maybe they focused on the ground game too much. We saw them, their front little wedges. They must have been real sharp because they wanted to get under Hydra, but you don't want to beat Hydra at their own game. You want to drive good, and I think they focused too much on the ground game, and they were getting caught up on the floor.
Yeah, both robots were really getting stuck on that floor. Like, both of them must have been pretty low. But unfortunately, Uppercut just didn't have the ground game. I feel like if they tried to focus on Hydra's sides and back more, they would have won.
Yeah, it's really hard to beat Hydra at their own game. I think you're better off just driving good. And there was maybe a few opportunities where they could have gotten around.
Yeah, but they just kept getting stuck on the ground. And they couldn't drive nearly as well as what we've seen them drive.
Yeah, they definitely drove better in last matches. So I think they sharpened those a little too much. And we see Hydra get caught up sometimes, but generally they're able to get around. And those two little wedges are never going to beat out that whole front plate.
No, unfortunately not. And I was so excited to see Hydra get yeeted, but instead we saw Uppercut in the air pretty much majority of the fight.
Yeah, I was glad that they can take a flip. They took several flips.
Oh, yeah, they can take a beating.
And keep going. But, yeah, Jake Ewart, we've got to hand it to him. His driving was so on point. The flipper was so on point. You know, just flip after flip landed on Uppercut.
Yeah, they really didn't let up at all. Like, he was on them every time. As soon as they landed, he was there again. They barely got a chance to get away and get their weapon back up to speed.
It was great aggression from Hydra.
Yeah. There was one point where they were up on the screws and he was just chilling, waiting for him to come back off the screws again.
Yeah.
It was...
It was domination. It was hard because Uppercut could have easily well, not easily taken this match, but there were some opportunities there.
For them to put up a better fight.
Yeah, for them to put up a better fight. And I think that weapon would have done serious damage to the thin armor of Hydra.
Yeah, I can't believe that we found that out as well, that Hydra has...
Thin titanium. Which makes sense, because there's a lot going on inside of Hydra, I feel.
Yeah.
There's some serious engineering, and they probably don't have a lot of weight to spare. Because that flipper is so powerful. I don't know how they got it so powerful, but I imagine it's the amazing insides of the robot.
The amazing insides. I will say, though, what uppercut won was the button push.
Oh, uppercut won the button push before the match even started.
They headbutted it. That's the dedication I like to see.
That is dedication. I think that was the best button push of the night.
Yeah, that was a pretty solid button push. There was a couple of others in there.
We saw Tantrum's classic one, but we've seen that before.
Yeah, that's true. But that is so good. I love the tiny fist.
Well done, Jake. Well done, Team Waiachi. Well done, Hydra. You put on a very good show.
Yeah, we'll see how you go in the bracket. But we've got a whole episode about that coming up. Like, we're not doing that this
one. Yeah, so our next episode, I think, will be us covering... We're not going to get into the bracket this one, but we will cover it in the next episode, along with, finally, our official aesthetic rankings, both Best Dressed Bot and Best Dressed Team.
I'll tell you what, there was a lot of contention between Spike and I with this one.
We sat down in a cafe, really hashed it out. It took us many hours.
It didn't take that long, but it did get to a point where I was like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah, Tina was fighting me on a lot of points here. But she does have the degree in fashion, so I'm hard-pressed to argue. What do we got next, Tigo?
Okay, we've got Sawblades versus Rusty.
Big T. I'll stop. Sawblades versus Rusty.
Yeah, Sawblades versus Rusty. Oh, boy. Oh no.
You saw it on Jameson Go's face. He didn't want to do it to the boy.
No. But look, I appreciate the fact that Sawblades brought their saw blade.
It is fun to see the saw. It is an amazing weapon.
Yeah, I kind of miss seeing it in most matches. I feel like, yeah, a lot of bots have got super big amounts of armor. That was a good sentence. And
look, I'm with you. Some of the bots got super big amounts of armor. It's like a lot.
Ow, Spike. But I suppose, Rusty, if you're going to bring your saw blade, Rusty is the bot to bring it to.
Yeah, that was really entertaining match. Props to Jameson Go and his whole team for putting on a hugely entertaining match. And props to Dave Eaton for bringing Rusty to life and bringing him into the battle box.
Oh, my God. At the beginning, when the robots were activating and it, like, went really quiet and, like, the buzzers are going, all you can hear in the distance is just someone screaming, "We love you, Rusty!" You have to know, like, and the fact is that you know that that's not an audience member. That's another team.
Yeah, everyone loves Rusty so much.
So good.
It's beautiful to watch. I really loved that. You know, Dave Eaton was cool to just be like, look, let's just put on a good show.
Yeah.
Go to town, man.
I'm just happy to be here.
You go, Jameson, go.
Yeah.
And that was glorious. The flamer and the saw blade. Like,
all those sparks were amazing.
Oh, the sparks are incredible.
Went through Rusty like butter.
Yeah. Watching it cut into the perspex.
Yeah.
I was like, oh boy, it's cutting deep. Yeah. I think that last cut in particular, we saw the arm sort of just come loose.
Yeah.
He'd cut right through part of it. It was brutal.
There was one point where I'm pretty sure he was just sawing Rusty's face.
Oh, and then the hammer, the Punishers.
Oh, yeah.
Coming down on the popcorn bowl. Oh, no. Oh, don't do it to me.
Rusty really copped it this last match of theirs for the season. But look, 3 minutes of all of that and Rusty was still going.
It was still going.
I was so proud of Rusty.
I was blown away. I did not think Rusty was going to survive 3 minutes and keep running. I thought those saws were going to go deep into him, which they did.
They did, but...
But glory to him.
He's got the guts to keep going.
He's got the guts. He's got the nuts and bolts. Oh, boy.
Next season, he'll have the glory.
Yeah, next season is the glory. I mean, honestly, you could picture it. You could picture Rusty somehow... Rusty's one of those bots that you're like, there's a sliver of a chance. There's always a sliver of a chance.
Oh, yeah. You gotta get the right hit and...
Anything could happen in the battle box.
Miracles have happened before.
Look, that was the best match. One of the best matches of this night.
Yeah, I
agree.
So
many good matches this night, but I loved it. I can't wait to see Dave Eaton back next year.
I know, I'm so excited to see Rusty 2.0.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be amazing.
What is it going to be? I just have no idea.
I kind of hope that it's kind of like what Rusty looks like now.
I hope, yeah.
But he's like all brand new parts.
Ooh, so he's like shiny and chrome.
Yeah.
He's not Rusty anymore ever again, but he's still called Rusty.
Yeah.
That would be good. I kind of hope that Rusty just gets like a little bit bigger every year. Like this is the head. And next year, it's going to be just, like, the body section under the head, and he's got two big arms.
Ooh.
And then the year after that, he's got legs now, too.
Oh, my God.
And he just becomes a full mech warrior.
Yeah, Rusty just turns into a mech warrior. Oh, that'd be actually amazing.
Yeah, that's my hopes.
Look, let's make an anime.
I think
Dave on the phone.
That's way too much work, but maybe we get Dave on the phone. If you're an animation company and you're for some reason listening to this BattleBox podcast, there's an idea for you. That's a freebie.
No, I want a cut.
Right, Tegan wants a cut. You might have to fight Tegan's lawyers.
I have several. That's a lie. I've never had to deal with a lawyer before.
Well, moving right along. We've got Tantrum versus Gamma 9, and I loved this fight as well. This was such a great night.
Yeah, honestly, this fight was... I just love watching Tantrum go.
This is one of those hard fights to watch, though, for Gamma 9, because it's like watching a sort of older... I don't know how old exactly Gamma 9 is, but it's an older bot. It's like watching... a Comedy Central era, possibly, bot.
It's like watching someone beat your pop-up.
A little bit, right?
Yeah. It's like watching some shit little rat bag kid just wail on your pop.
It is hard, yeah. It is a bit of a new generation, old generation matchup. And yeah, we saw Tantrum deal some damage.
Yeah, Tantrum was very entertaining this match. I really appreciate seeing their puncher in full force.
Yeah, the puncher was working a treat. We saw that one hit on the side take the full width chunk that it can take out of Gamma 9.
Yeah.
Oh, what a hole it left.
Yeah, it was really good. And they were so good at getting around Gamma 9.
The driving was off chops. The driving from... at the start, they sort of did this amazing... like, they came around the side and then they sort of were turned backwards and they just decided to go full tilt backwards.
Yeah.
And then do a little spin and then come onto the attack.
Sometimes you just got to put on a good show, you know?
Yeah, it was great. I was like, Aaron Hill is a madman of a driver.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a small, dense bot that I think it looks like it goes even faster.
Yeah, it almost looks like, you know, the mini bots that are like extremely quick. Gives me that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But without being a mini bot per se.
No.
But I feel like they've got a, like, I don't know how much Tantrum weighs, but they've got to have weight to spare, right?
I'm not sure. I think it's just all armor. And I think their armor is just super heavy because we can see it take a hit.
Yeah, they're really good at taking those hits and keep going.
I mean, toe-to-toe with Valkyrie, that front section was okay, and we've seen what Valkyrie can do.
Yeah, the top of them, however, was not.
No.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Gamma 9 is just not low enough, not fast enough. They just didn't have what it took to get around Tantrum this time.
Yeah, I think Tantrum was a bit cautious at the start, because, you know... You don't have to be, I feel. Yeah, you've got to be cautious, but when they... sort of went front to front and realized that they were winning that ground game, then they just switched it on.
Oh, yeah. And they were relentless as well.
I think that front plate of Gamma 9 under their lifter is maybe made of titanium because the sparks on that were so bright.
Yeah, I hope so because I wonder what their lifter is made out of because it seemed to be able to take a hit pretty good. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't really completely bent out of shape.
I really enjoyed the design of Gamma 9, and it just reminds me of, like, a big Batmobile or Mad Max car.
Yeah, totally a Batmobile, for sure. Like, that original 1960s one.
Yeah, it's a classic. It's a great-looking robot, and it just looks like a fun race car to drive.
It looks like a Batmobile mixed with, like, one of those, like, old sci-fi, retro, futurism kind of alien spaceships, but it's like the villain aliens.
Okay, yeah.
They're like the bad guy aliens, not the good guy aliens.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you ever decommission Gamma 9, I think you really need to take the lifting arm out and just put a go-kart seat in it, because it looks like it'd be fun to drive around.
Hell yeah, that'd be sick. Let's talk about this count out, though.
Right.
Counted, poor Gamma 9.
Oh, yeah.
KO'd with 1 second left in the match.
Yeah, that ref was onto it. He was like, you know what, I'll start counting right now.
I'll start counting at 11 seconds.
And he did it. I mean, well, maybe that was a mercy count out, you know, save you the suspense of going to the judges.
I mean, yeah, but also, good work, Tantrum, knocking someone out with 1 second left on the clock.
Yeah, you don't see that often. That was good. Yeah, so Tantrum took this one. Great match to watch. I loved it. I'm interested to see how Tantrum goes in the bracket.
So am I. I want to talk about it, but we've got to hold...
We're going to hold our horses.
We've got to hold our horses back. Whoa there, Nelly. That's me talking to me.
All right. Well, next match, Endgame versus Hypershock.
Another main event.
This one, a much quicker one.
Yeah, this one was... Ooh.
I mean, my main note here was just Will Bale's face.
Yeah.
But maybe we should start closer to the start.
Endgame, originally, when they're like little pre-fight chat, we're like, we're happy to go head-to-head with weapon-to-weapon. With Hypershock.
We know we've got the better one.
And I was like, shit, that's true and good that you would say that.
The confidence is high on Endgame at the moment. Even after that loss to Bloodsport, they know what they've got. And what they've got is a powerful robot.
Yeah, that weapon is definitely one of the most powerful this season. And it has not disappointed me.
Not
even
at all.
With the match against Bloodsport, I still really think Endgame are heavy hitters. A bot to watch in the bracket.
I want to know actually whether they can spin the weapon both ways, like, you know, Lockjaw and some other robots can.
Yeah, that's
because
an interesting
looking
question.
At the design of that weapon, it's sort of a circle with a whole
how many what's the fraction missing?
Yeah, it's like a circle with the outer 15% like sliced off.
Yeah, so we're missing probably like not like a whole, it's like, it's pretty obtuse angle.
Yeah, well, anyway, what I'm trying to say is it's like a circle with the edge shaved off. And what I like about that is, like, opposed to some other hammer saws and disc weapons, it's, you could hit from both sides because both sides are an edge.
This is true, but then I don't think they'd be as... I feel like their weapon would not be as effective going the other way.
Oh, certainly not. I just like that the option is there.
When would they ever and why would they ever do it the other way?
I have no idea, but it seems designed purposely this way.
That's interesting. I don't know what to say now.
I don't know what to say either. Maybe it has to do with self-writing.
Yeah, do they have a self-writer?
I don't think they do. That's what I mean. I think maybe the weapon is designed in this way to assist self-writing. But I could be mistaken. Actually, I have no idea why it's like this, but I just think it looks cool.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. I can appreciate that. Will Bales was saying in his pre-fight thing that he's going to do the Drifty Boy thing.
The Drifty Boy thing.
And then almost immediately didn't do that.
He did decide to go sort of face-to-face, which
yeah.
I don't know if that was on purpose necessarily, but it is how it happened.
It is how it happened, and much to,
I think some reversing and some sort of repositioning might have done him some good.
Yeah, unfortunately, they Endgame got like a couple of little hits in, and then got one big solid hit in.
Yeah,
and Hypershock was up over the screws.
They sort of came down, and then Endgame was able to deliver another one.
Yeah,
and to some poetic defeat here. Unfortunately for Will Bales, it's the self-rider that really got him caught over the edge there.
Yeah, unfortunately he did get stuck on his own self-rider.
That is just the ultimate betrayal.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Oh. My question is, did any listeners ever, did you actually go up and scan the QR code that's underneath Hypershock? Because one of my mates tried to and couldn't get it to work.
Well, they didn't try to. They tried to while the episode was playing. So,
I mean, yeah. Do we know where the QR code goes?
Yeah. So, I saw it on Reddit. The QR code will take you to a secret part of the Hypershock store where you can actually buy Hypershock.
Whoa.
For, I forget how much it was, 69,000?
Nice.
I think it's $69,999.
Yeah, they would pick that number.
Maybe it was 59,000. I'm not sure. Maybe my brain is just a sewer. But you can also buy the neon sign and a lot of other really cool stuff. The Hyperstock short. The Hyperstock store.
Hyperstock store.
The Hypershock store.
The Hypershock store
is lit. It is super lit. There is some crazy stuff on there.
So, hang on. If they're trying to sell Hypershock, does that mean that they're going to try and bring a new bot, or is this the end of the team?
Speculate wildly, Tegan. I doubt it's the end of the team. They've built way too much of a brand. I think maybe it's just this year's bot that they're trying to buy. Because why not sell this year's bot to fund next year's?
I mean, that's a good point. I cannot imagine this sport without Will Bales in it.
Yeah, I can't either. At this point, he's such a staple. He's so fun. Like I said, Will Bales' face. That's what does it for me. Watching him get stuck on the wall there with his own lifter and just be like, huh.
Yeah.
Huh. It's like a huh. Not again.
He does have a very telling face.
Yeah, what can you do?
He's very aware of the cameras around him, I feel.
Look, he's absolutely serving it. I love it.
Also, they are the only team. When you go onto the BattleBots website and you scroll through all the teams, they're the only team jumping in the air. Every other team is standing, arms crossed, looking super cool, kneeling next to their robot. But the whole Hypershock team is jumping in the air.
That is awesome.
And I just love that so much.
Yeah, I love Hypershock. It'll be interesting to see how they go in this bracket.
Yeah. At the end, when Hypershock was getting counted out, Endgame decided to clean up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. They had some a little bit of armor left in their square.
Yeah, from Hypershock, and they decided to go hit it towards the judges so the judges could be like, oh. But then just hit it directly at Kenny.
Just smashed it right into Kenny's side of the box.
And then the diffuser from Kenny's light fell off and hit him in the face, which I feel like, seeing a robot hit something towards you and then you having something hit you in the face.
Just assume you've been slain.
You assume that you've died.
You assume that you're mortally wounded, right? If anything, if a robot inside the box hits something and then you feel something, something has gone wrong.
Something has gone so wrong. Horribly and you're dead wrong. Now.
Like, yeah, my reaction would have been the same, which is new pants.
Yeah.
So, you know, charge the dry cleaning to Endgame there, maybe, Kenny.
Yeah. Now Kenny's going to have to fight the two men from Endgame.
Yeah, certainly. Watch out, Jack.
He's going to get you.
But that was a spectacle.
That was...
Endgame just continues to amaze me.
All right, Spike.
All right, Tigo.
Let's move on to my favourite match of the night.
This was your favourite match?
This was my favourite match of the night.
Look, I called it.
This is so entertaining to watch.
This was spectacular. It was great to see P1 do what it was made to do.
Yeah, so Smee versus P1. Smee currently is such a weird bot for people to verse. They're not really sure what to do. And P1 has had a bit of a rocky career.
Yeah.
But, oh, this was amazing.
They just drove right through him. This was the most, like, this is one of those matches that is more akin to a WWE match.
Oh, yeah. So there was a lot of, like, picking up and throwing, a lot of getting him up on the ropes,
a lot of box slams. And then there were so many good bits. I just wrote the good bits. I loved the circling part where they were just spiraling around each other for like 10 or more seconds.
Just doing little scapes around each other.
And to watch Smee, I mean, yeah, Smee really was driving quicker as well as was P1. But to watch Smee doing huge spins in the box, hilarious.
Yeah, so good. I love that Smee also has ease, like laser cut into their weapon.
Do they? Oh, yeah, they do too, don't they?
Oh, ease everywhere. More of it.
Yeah, you couldn't get enough ease on that robot.
Yeah, I do love that P1 managed to completely pick up Smee.
It was so good. It's like that lifter was made for the job. They just, I think they got it from the back, if I remember.
Yeah, got it from the back.
And then managed to lift it up and be completely sideways and then just slam them into the wall.
Up over the rails.
Yeah.
But then decided they wanted to keep playing.
Not once, but twice.
Yeah.
The exact same maneuver. It was incredible. We saw the backward slam. We saw the wheel grind on the screws. And to finish it off, the fully inverted KO.
Oh, fully inverted KO. I will say, Smee is so big that you can slam him into both screws.
It's true. Yeah, you can put one wheel on one and one wheel on the other. This was the best match, and those slams were doing some damage.
Oh, they were so good. Smee lost one of their weapons entirely through all of that somewhere. I don't even remember where.
Yeah, we saw the springs breaking on it. We saw bits coming off. Little bits, but that's damage.
That's damage, baby. I was sad that there was no interview at the end with P1.
Yeah, I think this episode, because there was the bracket at the end to reveal, they probably had to cut some things a little bit short, but it would have been good to see an interview with P1.
I know, they just won, like, one of the best fights of the night. I wanted to see them celebrate, and I wanted to, like, hear them talk about it.
Yeah, well, I did see that Joe Fabiani was a real good sport, obviously enjoyed this match, had a great time, and I love to see that, you know. I love to see a team, even when they lose, having a bit of, like, almost a celebration, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This was excellent.
This was seriously such a fun match to watch. Also, shout out to Lauren for making Smee brownies.
Oh, yeah. If you didn't see on our Instagram, our friend Lauren, who is our huge Kraken fan. I should clarify. Definitely not a fan of Huge. Lauren does not like Huge.
No, she's a Kraken stan.
Yeah, all right. She's the Kraken stan. I don't know if she'll take that on. But I made some amazing Smee brownies. Was just ease to spare.
It was so good. Anyway, I finished eating them yesterday. They were delicious. All right, should we move on?
Yes.
Let me turn my page.
Okay.
Let me sip my hot chocolate. Tegan, now I am ready.
Tegan providing some folly there. Yep, you ready? All right, we've got Beta versus Grabot.
Okay. I really wanted... Okay, imagine. For luck, just imagine.
My eyes are shut.
Imagine if it was a Grabot versus Rusty, and then it was Sawblaze versus Beta.
Sawblaze versus Beta, that would have been something too early. Maybe we'll get to that in the bracket. I don't know. Why are my eyes still shut? But Grabot versus Rusty, that makes more sense to me because I don't really understand Grabot still. I think the hands are spring-loaded, right?
Right.
So I think if you put something in them, they just clamp on.
Yes,
and
okay.
They grab you. So Rusty is the only bot that I think that would have been possible to do. Because he's the only one with little spindly arms.
This is true.
To grab onto. That would have been a good fight.
It would have been an adorable fight.
It would have. I think Rusty would have slammed Grabot too.
Yeah, and then he would have had a better win record than Tombstone.
Yeah, true. Yeah, what did we see this match? Oh, we should get out the way. An amazing fact, Ben Davidson and his wife, I possibly got it wrong, but if memory serves, Angel, has fostered 70 kids in the last 15 years.
If her name isn't Angel, it should be, because what a lovely thing to do.
What an angel.
What an angel. No, that is, like, I don't even have one kid. I have Cat. And even that, I'm like, oh my God.
Your cat, though, is exceptionally needy.
This is true.
His name is Hank, and he's all white, and he is the softest boy ever.
He's the softest and loudest cat I've ever met.
He will keep up a full conversation.
Yeah. But yeah, 70 kids in 15 years is incredible. And that's lovely. And then one of them was here in the team.
That was so nice. Yeah. What a good experience. You do love to see that.
Yeah.
I don't understand why your team wasn't much bigger. Surely some more of those kids are into robotics.
I don't know. They've all got their own things going on.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like being a foster kid isn't the easiest in the world.
No. What is also not the easiest in the world is fighting Peter.
No, Peter was pretty hectic.
Really, John Reed is a surgeon. of a driver, you could see he just wants to get a bit more time in on the driving the bot around, knowing how it works. He's really being observational about how the robot is functioning while it's fighting.
Yeah, he's really, like, at the beginning, you can see that he's just, like, he's just a push bot for, like, the first half of the match almost. And he's just getting a feel for the box, how the other robot is, how well they can push the other robot around. And then as soon as they could, they got a couple of pretty damn good hits in.
Yeah, he unfortunately missed that first one, which, yeah, as it's gas-powered, would have been the most powerful hit.
Yeah.
But the follow-up ones certainly still packed a lot of power. Looking at that plate, the top plate of Grabot at the end of the match, those surfaces that should have been right angles were surely no longer
no, right angles. No, I wrote down smoking, full stop, dented, full stop.
Yeah, it was brutal to see him actually bonk the smoke out of a robot. That's not something you see often.
I know.
And we saw in the slow-mo, those magnets on the base of Beta really working now.
Yeah, they've really got those working now. It was incredible.
You can see the whole robot just suction down to the floor.
Yeah.
And just deliver a devastating blow.
Yeah, and Beta's reset of that hammer is so good.
Really good. We saw John Reed saying, you know, wait for it to recharge or pressurize, wait for it to pressurize and then hit them again. So there's obviously a little bit of delay. You want to wait for it to get to full power again, which is something that maybe I think, you know, that's what John Reed's quality is, in that he has that control.
Yeah, and the discipline
The discipline and the control, whereas Shatter maybe going a little bit too hard.
Yeah, I agree completely. They were super controlled in all of their hammer throws. And they are so aware of how their robot works. Like, they know if something's going wrong, they probably know exactly what it is. If something's going right, they're like, sweet, that little tiny thing that I did 5 minutes before we got in here is working. Like,
yeah, Beta is going to be a fierce competitor in this bracket and one to watch out for, because that wedge is pretty much impenetrable so far.
That wedge is a wedge.
It's a serious wedge, and it is hard to defeat.
But yeah, I just wish that they had a harder matchup than Grabot.
Yeah, Beta's had a, I won't say an easy run, because they did have that rotator fight, and that would have been incredibly great driving, and could have really spelled disaster for them, but they handled it, and so it's been plain sailing since then.
Who did they fight last match?
Was it Rusty?
It was Rusty. Yeah, why wasn't it? Why wasn't it Rusty versus Grabot? Rusty deserved a break after that. All right, now it's time for the main event.
The main event, not the first or second main event this episode.
No, this is the main event.
It's the real deal. We've got Valkyrie versus Whiplash.
Valkyrie versus Whiplash. My whole heart.
Your heart?
My heart.
Aww.
This was interesting, but actually, before we talk about this, when we were rewatching the episode, when they were saying robots activate, they did like a big pan.
Oh my gosh.
My gosh.
I can't believe you caught this.
They did like a big pan of the battle box, and I noticed that the teams were not Valkyrie or Whiplash.
There's one very short clip. Where is it? It's right after they say
robots activate and right before a zoom in on Valkyrie. And it's like all the lights in the battle box are doing the crazy things and whatever. But it was Gruff versus Tombstone.
You could see. It was Gruff's jacket and it was Tombstone's shirt. And you could see Gruff in the box. And we were like, wait, what? Yeah. Why is this here? Why is this clip here?
And then we instantly freaked out and we were like, did we just wreck the whole bracket for ourselves?
But we hadn't seen what we have wrecked here, if you haven't seen it either, is BattleBots Bounties.
Yeah.
So we didn't realize that Gruff is in the Tombstone bracket of the Bounty Hunter episodes.
Yeah, we haven't watched any of the bounties except...
So, sorry, spoilers there, but Gruff is going to fight Tombstone.
But we were very scared that this was going to...
We were shocked, because they're at other... I mean, we're not talking about the brackets, but they are at other opposite corners of the bracket. So we were like, is this the final?
Yeah.
We were so shocked. We were thinking that this could be the final.
Did they just put that in there? Why
how is
would
it
they
that Gruff
that?
Is cleaned up? Who knows? But look, yeah, that's weird. You know, maybe they just didn't get that shot, thought nobody would notice. But Tegan, nothing gets past Tegan.
Nah, I got eagle eyes, mate.
All right, so what do we see in the Valkyrie versus Whiplash fight besides some strange footage?
So we saw Whiplash not bring any weapon, just extra armor.
Just extra armor. And that was a great idea because, I mean, we saw this amazing box rush. It was so quick. I was not prepared for how fast it was going to be. But those initial hits from Valkyrie's weapons dug deep. That weapon, Dr. Cavity, no yes. joke.
Excellent name for a weapon. Yes,
performs as is described on the box.
Yes. No, I reckon if Whiplash didn't bring that extra armor, they would have been in a lot of trouble after those first couple of hits.
Certainly.
And then we saw Valkyrie lose their main weapon. And
if not for that, this would have been a totally different outcome, as Matt said himself.
Yeah, but as we all know, Whiplash are an excellent control bot. That's what they're designed for. That's what they're good at. And
a great bot coupled with one of the best drivers in the world.
Yeah, so he's been driving robots since he was 1 year old.
And he's what, 21 now? 21. That's absurd.
This man, what? I reckon his kids are going to have mutated thumbs.
They're going to be a little bit longer and super dexterous. Yeah. For sure.
You're going to have an extra knuckle in there or something.
Look, I think you can make better controller where that's not necessary.
I mean, maybe, but I wonder what Matt's preference in controller is. Like, I wonder what kind of... Yeah,
I would like to really sit down and chat with him too, because I bet he's got something to say on... Transceivers.
Yeah, so this was... I'm so sad that Valkyrie lost their weapon so early on. Because they, like, you could see it on Whiplash. Like, they had almost lost, like, half of their wedge. There were some major chunks missing from it. They almost got the chain for Whiplash's
lifter. They sort of had that... They had that cover... over the top, which we... I don't feel like we've seen...
No, I don't think we've seen it
on Whiplash. They don't always have that. Might have seen it in the past, but they had that cover over the chain mechanism for their lifter, and, man, that took a bit of a hit, didn't it?
Yeah, Valkyrie rode up on top, and they just...
Yeah, bent it right over.
Yeah. So I reckon if they got another hit on their wedge and another hit on their chain, it would have been all over for Whiplash, but Whiplash just... didn't give them an inch.
No breathing room at all. Not an inch. I'll tell you, I would love to know what broke on Valkyrie's weapon, because after that rotator match, we've seen how durable it can be.
Yeah, exactly.
But sometimes it's just one little thing.
It's one little thing. I'm sure we'll hear all about it.
Yeah, this is one I'm going to be looking for.
Yeah, I am sad that Valkyrie didn't win, just because I love that robot, but... at the same time, I'm so stoked that Matty Vasquez and the Whiplash team got to win.
Oh, yeah. They're such an incredible team. You know, I think both teams would have been happy with this outcome. It was a great match regardless.
Yeah.
It's just full on how many flips he got in. It was just flip after flip after flip. I honestly wish I counted them, but there's too many. Too many to count.
I will say, when Whiplash win, they have like the weirdest celebration with their mum. They give their mum like the same high five that you give like your bro from.
Hell yeah.
I love it, but at the same time, I'm like, can you just hug your mum?
No, if you're out there, definitely hug your mum, but definitely also high five your mum.
No, but it's like not like just like a regular high five. It's like a hell yeah, bro. Kind of like, I don't know. Like, it just doesn't...
You'll have to... Can you just demonstrate? What is it?
It's like a...
Oh, it's one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it's like the sideways, like...
It's like the sideways, like,
you,
yeah.
Where you pull each other in.
Yeah, but, like, without the pulling in bit.
Yeah, sweet. It's not a high five. It's like a greeting and then into the fist bump.
Yeah, kind of. It's, like, similar to that, but... Probably I don't know, the mum just never knows, like, it just, to me, looks like the mum never knows how to, like, react properly, and I'm like, please just hug your mum, like, just, you're allowed to hug your mum on television, it's your mum.
Look, I'll have to watch it back, but...
The whip lads are just too cool, man.
They're just too cool.
Just no, don't hug me, Mum.
Putting up big W's.
But I'm excited to see both these bots go in the bracket. I think both of them are going to be successful, whether it's once, whether it's twice, whether it's more than that. That, I don't know. I'll have to think about it, talk about it later.
It's a great bracket this year. There are just so... We have 32 incredible robots. Not that we haven't had that most years, but boy howdy, these robots have come a long way.
Boy howdy, I'm excited to get rowdy.
Let's get rowdy, Tegan.
Yeah, I've got a lot to say about this bracket. I have a lot of opinions on where people have landed in their seeds. I feel like they're wrong, but we will talk about that next time.
I'm very excited for next episode with you. I think it's going to be a fun one.
Alrighty, well, this is all for this one. Thanks for sticking around.
You can talk to us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can email us at botsbotsbotspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and our Instagram handle is botsbotsbots.podcast.
You can also support the podcast if you like. You know, the best ways to support the podcast are share it with a friend, get someone else into combat robotics, leave us a review on the Apple Store or anywhere you like. And now you can also donate to us. So if you want to donate to us, that's a huge help to keep us running. You can donate at buymeacoffee.com/botsbotsbots.
Yeah, so...
There's a link in the show notes. We really appreciate it. At the same time, please don't feel any pressure because it's hard out there.
But it would be great if you could at least leave us a review, share with a friend. All of those things, as Spike said, help tremendously, more than you'd ever know, unless you have a podcast, in which case you would know.
But from the bottom of our hearts, we love you so much. Thanks to our listeners.
Yeah, we're super excited to get into this bracket with all of you. Tell us your predictions. Who's going to win? Who's your top prediction? Who do you think is going to be the final two, and who do you think is going
to
win?
Yeah, give us your bracket predictions, because we need help to decide.
Alright, well, we'll see you next time on Bots, Bots, Bots.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I'm so excited to lay down.